here's a story from The World.
50 people are dead after being abandoned in a tractor trailer in the Texas heat. Over a dozen other migrants were saved from the trailer in San Antonio yesterday and hospitalized for heat-related illnesses. Authorities say this is among the deadliest known outcomes of a human smuggling operation across the U.S.-Mexico border. San Antonio Mayor Ron Nirenberg says he hopes those responsible are prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law.
The plight of migrants seeking refuge is always a humanitarian crisis, but tonight we are dealing with a horrific human tragedy.
Joining us now is Guadalupe Correa Cabrera. She's a public policy professor at George Mason University in Virginia. Guadalupe, 50 people have died as of this afternoon. Others have been hospitalized. This is not the first time a tragedy like this has happened. Can you put this into context for us?
Absolutely. This is not the first time that a tragedy like this has happened. Maybe the magnitude has, you know, shocked us. But in the year 2017, in the same city, 10 migrants died inside a trailer. And that is not the only event that we have had. Cars trying to cross the border when law enforcement has tried to stop them, or there are other operations through the sea. Also, we have seen dozens, maybe hundreds of people dying when they are trying to cross the Sonora-Arizona border through the desert of Arizona. Or through the Falfurrias County in Texas, they walk, they stay in stash houses in different cities of Texas or Mexico at the border, and they walk with the help of a guide, also part of a migrant smuggling operation. So there are so many ways that migrants lose their life in accidents or trying to escape from law enforcement.
Where are the smugglers themselves from?
That is an important question. We are talking about migrant smuggling networks. Therefore, the ones that operate at the border. In this case, we see guides. We see guides that can be Mexicans, Mexican Americans, or people born and raised in the United States. But these migrant smuggling operations involve people from different parts of the world. Usually migrants, their initial part of the journey connects them with people from their own countries. So we're not just talking about people from Central America. We're talking about people from Brazil, from Haiti, from Cuba. And when we are talking about what is happening, we usually see that they are with a driver, but the drivers are just part of the network. So it's difficult to say who is in charge of running this migrant smuggling operation. We know that, for example, in the year 2017, the only person that was focused on as part of the investigation was the driver of the 18-wheeler. And the driver of the 18-wheeler was a U.S. citizen. And that's something that does not matter so much because, as I said, when we see that there's one person in charge of leading the migrants, we're just seeing a guide. We're not understanding the network. Who is really leading that network? It's not a Central American migrant or a Central American citizen most of the time when we are talking about operations at the border. When we talk about operations at the border, they live in Mexico or in the United States, but usually we are seeing just guides, Mexican Americans or American citizens.
Democrats and Republicans in the U.S. have already accused each other. They say each group's immigration policies have led to these circumstances. What connection do you see between U.S. immigration policy and human smuggling at the border?
Well, the limitations with regards to legal migration, the lack of legal pathways when there is availability of jobs, that is what causes the growth and the existence of migrant smuggling networks that facilitate human mobility or the access of the people who are in need of these jobs in the United States. We're mainly talking about economic migrants when we're thinking about this. Of course, there are so many people that cannot live in their places of origin because of violence, because of a number of reasons that push them from their countries. They are in search of a better life, and that life can be given in the United States.
Among migrants who are trying to reach the U.S., are there warnings and information that they pass along to one another about the risks of getting involved with smugglers and coyotes?
Absolutely. But they are making their choices based on cost and effectiveness. And even though they understand the risk, they understand the challenges, and they understand the dangers, they still want to make it because they know once they cross the checkpoint, once they are in the United States, they're going to have a better life. So they are willing to maybe die. It's a possibility. Many of them know that others die. Many others know that women are raped, and women are even conscious about that, take pills to give birth of children.
Morning after pills.
Exactly.
You've studied this issue. How do we prevent these kinds of awful things from happening, of migrants dying in container trucks?
There are a number of causes of this phenomena, pull and push factors, bad policies, lack of legal pathways, legal pathways for regular migration. And at the same time, we have the root causes of migration, poverty, inequality, violence, and, you know, a very unequal system overall in the world, a global economic system. So we need to address the different causes of these. The dismantling of migrant smuggling networks is also very important. Investigation about who is doing this, who is taking advantage of this, and fixing of the immigration system and the developed world that is broken, the existence of jobs that, you know, and these incentives.
Are there short-term things that could really prevent this kind of thing from happening?
Short-term would be the dismantling of migrant smuggling networks, investigation, collaboration to deal with this and to prevent people to deal with the migrant smugglers. But we're not going to solve this with law enforcement. We have to deal with the root causes of undocumented migration. We have to deal with poverty, inequality, violence, all that has to be done at the same time. There's not only a way to deal with this, to prevent this from happening, because if law enforcement, try to dismantle these networks, there's going to be advances, but they are going to be changing their strategies. And if there is demand, there's going to be a supply.
Guadalupe Correa Cabrera is a professor at the Schar School of Policy and Government at George Mason University. Thanks for speaking with us, Guadalupe.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure. Thank you.